Then, she saw a figure on top of the rock, silhouetted against the rosy evening sky. Even though the shadows made it impossible to tell what color the cat's pelt was, there was no mistaking the powerful shoulders and long tail held aloft in greeting.
"Firestar!" Squirrelpaw called.
"Squirrelpaw!"
Firestar bounded down the rock, then halted. His whiskers twitched for a heartbeat before he thrust his head forward and licked Squirrelpaw's ear. She closed her eyes and purred, briefly forgetting the horror that was engulfing the forest. She was home, and that was all that mattered. My name is Spencer Grant, and you're listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats community podcast. This week, I'm joined by my friend Sneaky. She is an artist and musician working on Reflections, and we are here to discuss the book Dawn. Sneaky, how are you doing? Of course. I'm certain that you will be great. If you like say anything dumb, people will probably not notice because they'll assume that you're smart because of your voice. Don't tell them because then they'll know. All right. So could you tell me a little bit more about Reflections and your projects and stuff? Because I'd love to know more about those before we start. I think this book goes into that detail like quite a lot, because this is the kind of picking up from where we were last time, where everything sucks and the clans are still fighting. And it's like... Which valley is this? Is it based on a real geographical location in England? Okay. Lake District would be a really cool setting. I mean, there are a lot of places in Cornwall that might be good, suitable, like, locations for feral cat colonies, like nearby the Eden Project, maybe. Oh. Okay. Okay. Ooh. What kind of trees are like? Okay. Canopy, yeah. I mean, maybe that can be part of your challenge to make the tribe interesting again. Yeah. We get it. You have your own stupid culture. Good. Good. Yeah. So do they still pray to to Star Clan? Is Star Clan still their ancestors, or oh? Okay. It was, yeah, there was an ambiguity to it. And then okay. All right, that does sound really cool. So people could like just pop in and take X era and just that will be theirs. All right, that is cool. All right, well, do you want to get to Dawn real quick? Just sum that up so we can start talking about all the fun good stuff that happens in that book that's fun and good. All right, so I got my synopsis here. Firestar, who is troubled by the loss of Leafpaw and many other cats from the forest, leads a patrol by Fortrees and watches as the two legs turn it into no trees. And then 2 days later, the Prophecy Cats return and they head back to ThunderClan and it's completely decimated. They run into Cinderpelt first, and she takes them up to Sunning Rocks to meet up with the rest of the clan. Stormfur says hi to his dad, tells him that Feathertail is dead, and then he just leaves, just like that. Brambleclaw tells Firestar about the prophecy, and Firestar decides to use the brain power he was saving up from the last book to listen and actually meet with the other Prophecy Cats instead of having an absurd reaction like every other leader has been having so far. Meanwhile, we go to Leafpaw. And she's like waking up in her cage and she meets a new girl that she has a crush on, which is a kitty pet named Cody. And she finds out that the two legs have been trapping all of her friends and also Gorsetail. She also meets Mothwing's mom, Sasha, and then nothing else happens for 2 chapters. The Prophecy Cats and all of their leaders meet the following night so the leaders can argue over leaving. After around 30 seconds of waiting, the sign from StarClan doesn't show up, so ShadowClan decides to become BloodClan 2 in Two Leg Place. That night, Squirrelpaw has a dream in which Spotted Leaf shows her where Leafpaw is because apparently she doesn't have telepathy anymore. Squirrelpaw decides to go get her immediately and then gets mad when Brambleclaw suggests waiting for Firestar. Squirrelpaw and Sorreltail find Graystripe, who's leading a patrol, and tell him where she is. Graystripe goes and rescues every single cat and is then taken away and never seen again. They bring the news back to Firestar, who sinks into a depression after realizing he'll never get to tell Graystripe how he truly feels about him. That night, Leafpaw sleeps next to her new girlfriend, and the two wake up to the romantic sound of another one of Ferncloud's kits dying. Squirrelpaw and Brambleclaw spend some time with Firestar, trying to convince the other cats to leave the forest with ThunderClan and WindClan, but to no avail. Firestar meets Hawkfrost and Sasha, and it doesn't go that well. On the way back, they encounter the corpse of another one of Ferncloud's kits. Cody, who has never been so thoroughly romanced before, decides to stay a while at Sunning Rocks and take care of Ferncloud for a little while. That night, Squirrelpaw and Leafpaw have a brief argument about the fact that both of them are in love with Tigerclaw's children, and then they go to sleep. Leafpaw is prodded awake by Mothwing, who tells her that her mentor is dying, so Leafpaw and Cinderpelt go to RiverClan to teach Mothwing about euthanasia. The next day, Tawnypelt and Tallstar show up at ThunderClan to ask for help, and Firestar discovers that all of the clans are finally too weak to refuse to leave the forest. The cats rescue all of ShadowClan while StarClan hits Firestar with the tree, and then we take ShadowClan to Sunning Rocks and we all finally agree to leave the forest together. There's just one problem, we still don't really know where to go. Cody gets bored because Ferncloud is running out of children to murder, so she leaves. Leafpaw and Cinderpelt tell their clan to get ready for the journey, and Brambleclaw tells Squirrelpaw how sad he is that Tawnypelt didn't want to go grocery shopping with him. Sasha shows up to ask Hawkfrost and Mothwing if they want to come with her, what with Tigerstar being their dad and all. They both refuse, and Sasha's like, oh, okay, bye then, I guess. The next day, the cats head out. They run into Ravenpaw and Barley, and Firestar says goodbye. Who's going to be the new deputy? Asks Ravenpaw after hearing Graystripe is gone. I don't need a new boyfriend, Firestar says. I said deputy, Ravenpaw responds, but Firestar has already thrown down a smoke bomb and vanished to the Moonstone. The Prophecy Cats gather together and admit that they have no idea where they're going, but they suddenly see a shooting star, and they're like, oh my god, this can only mean one thing. Fire alone will save our clan. The cats head to the mountains, hoping that they can lure more mountain lions to eradicate the tribe of Rushing Water and take their home. A few kits from the other clan's fern clouds perish along the way, and Leafpaw wishes that Cody could be there to enjoy it with her. Sorreltail, who is at this point tired of playing second fiddle to Mothwing and then Cody, decides that she's in love with Brackenfur now. Leafpaw turns to Squirrelpaw, and she's like, man, how could this get any worse? And then the tribe of Rushing Water shows up, so that's cool. Leafpaw hangs out with a cool old man, and Stormfur is reunited with his new wife, Brooke. Crowpaw is given the name Crowfeather in honor of Graystripe's daughter, Mistyfoot. Leafpaw, upon seeing all of the clans so comfortable together, worries that they may never be able to return to their time-honored tradition of starting race wars over nothing. A few days later, the clans leave the tribe, and Stormfur decides to listen to his Y chromosome and stay behind with them. Inspired by this, Squirrelpaw confesses her love to Brambleclaw, and Brambleclaw does not acknowledge it at all like the excellent boyfriend he's sure to become. The cats arrive in New York, and Firestar decides that he's had enough walking. Welcome to the Lake Territory. That was the book that we just read. How do you freaking feel about it? I agree. I think at this point they probably knew that they were going to have to make. So from what I remember of the history of these, they were initially planning on making the New Prophecy into a three book arc, but at this point they had found out that, the publishers wanted to push it to six, so they probably had to string some plot elements along and ensure that there was 'cause like by this time in the old books, there would have been like a million dead cats, and they would have been plot relevant instead of Ferncloud children. But like I don't yeah, and these ones, I think this is like part of the fact that they have to string these books along for another three of them, and they don't really know what to do at this point, do they? Yeah. At the end of the day, Warriors is a franchise, and this is probably the beginning of that franchise stretch that you're going to be seeing a lot of as the books progress. So, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was Firestar's behavior in this book was a little bit very odd. Like in the last book, he was kind of, I don't know, he wasn't really doing that much. He was just kind of sitting around and being sad that his daughter was gone and that the clans were going to trash. And like, to some extent, he has some very good moments in this book. Like, there was a part where Brambleclaw was yelling at Hawkfrost because he was like, what was it? You might feel differently if you were truly clanborn. And Firestar is like, show some respect. Hawkfrost is not responsible for his birth. And I was like, yes, thank you, Daddy. I'm so happy you're finally. But then like there were some other points where he was just like demonstrating the fact that he does not have protagonist brain cells anymore. Where he was like, we can't jump to conclusions. It's clear that Hawkfrost's first loyalty is to his clans. He said he would fight to defend them. Does that sound like Tigerstar to you? And I was like, yeah, actually, it does sound a lot like something that Tigerstar would say. But sure, whatever. I feel you would know better than I would, I guess. I've only read all of the books so far. But speaking of weird characterization, what is up with Sasha? Because. She showed up in previous books. She did like have brief appearances in The New Prophecy 1 and 2 or something like that when we were first meeting them. But yeah, like her characterization is just very strange. Like when she reveals that Tigerstar was their father, it just felt like very, I don't know, today I will cause problems on purpose or something like that. Yeah, Shadow of RiverClan was like released this year, wasn't it? Nice. I get the feeling that Sasha is only included in this like slew of books as a tie-in to the manga, but also I feel like Hawkfrost and Mothwing are already compelling enough characters as is. Like, if you want to know about their backstory, you don't need Sasha to be there and say like, hey, you know, I've got my own tie-in books that you could read. Yeah. I can't find a strong enough common link between the way she acts to understand how and why she acts the way she does, which I'm not going to say it bothers me, but like, oh, no, you know what? I will say that it bothers me. I don't know who she is and why she's there. Like, why is she still hanging around the forest? I guess like for the point of seeing her kits and stuff, but I think so. You know, kits are a handful. Oh man, we had a kitten visiting the house at one point where I lived, and it was just, I think it like took away years from my life, because like we had, if you have a cat in a house that's like not made for cats or is not used to cats, you're suddenly like made aware of all of these very unsafe areas where the cat is definitely going to be gravitating towards, and you have no way of stopping it. Like, she kept getting behind the TV set and stuff, and I would have to, like, you know, try to shoo her out, but that only made her realize that, you know, she liked being behind there, so I had to, fucking, yeah, kittens. Mm-hmm. Do your ducks get up to any trouble? I know you keep ducks. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh. Can they fly yet? Oh. Why would you get like multiple varieties of ducks to raise all together? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really? Hence the name, yeah. Ooh. Oh, okay. Really? Yeah, they're BBs. All right. That's really interesting. Thank you for talking about that. Wow. Should we get back to the book? All right. So, most of the portion of this book was devoted to the fact that the clans, for some reason, don't want to leave, which was a very strange thing for them to be. I like took a lot of screenshots from this portion because there was a lot to say. Like there was this one part where Tallstar was talking about how there was only one mouse to feed the whole clan, and WinClan has never gone hungry like this before. And I was like, I feel like that is incorrect. WinClan is always the clan that goes hungry, isn't it? But and there were some other portions where like the Squirrelpaw and Leafpaw were talking to each other about how they think it's stupid that the clans can't come together. And it got me thinking as well, like, is this why they had to keep them apart for two books? Because like they're starting to unravel the canon a little bit. Like they're almost seeing smart stuff, and then Leafpaw goes back to being stupid as she starts to. This was another irritating thing, but when the clans finally do come together, Leafpaw spends like a few chapters worrying about how the clans are becoming so homogenous that, you know, she doesn't know if they'll ever come back to being four separate clans. And it's like, why do you think that's a bad thing? You guys are just killing each other over squirrels. Like, this doesn't make any freaking sense, you stupid, but whatever. They're cats. She's an apprentice. I'm sure they have different priorities than we do. And there was this other thing that I was thinking about where Stormfur leaving, obviously, to go to the clans, or to the Tribe of Rushing Water. Do you have any thoughts about that? Yeah. Yeah. Be happy. I thought it was very funny when, as soon as they were like in the mountain, and Stormfur is like, "Brambleclaw, I've sent it to the tribe." And then the first thing he says to them is, "How's Brook doing?" Like, you know, yeah. Right to business. He knows where his priorities lie, which I appreciate about him. It's I didn't think that I would like him after spending an entire book in his head and understanding how much he thinks about like every single female cat he comes across. He's a little bit like Leafpaw in that regard. Like every time he's, you know, every time he's not thinking about Squirrelpaw, he's thinking about his sister. And every time he's not thinking about his sister, he's thinking about Brooke. But Like, you know, it's what it's endearing when Leafpaw does it. And I guess it's endearing when Stormtail does it, too, because I have grown to like him to some extent, despite my better judgment. How do you feel about Leafpaw's various girl crushes throughout this book? She's super nice, yeah. Yeah. Well, Squirrelpaw came back, I guess, right? You can't have a best friend and a sister. It's against the law. It's the Firestar rule, I believe it's called. Right, and that is going to do it for this week's episode of Four Trees, our Warrior Cats community podcast. I've been your host, Spencer Grant, and I'd like to thank our guest, Sneaky, for joining us for the last little while. You've been an absolute pleasure to have. This episode was actually a little special for me because Sneaky is basically the first person that I met through doing this podcast and getting back into the Warrior Cats fandom. Everybody else is just kind of people that I knew before through one way or another in my walks of life. So it was great to get to meet Sneaky over the last few weeks and do this podcast with her. I had a lot of fun doing it. Four Trees is recorded live in front of a studio audience here at Druids Hollow Studios in Bristol. Our theme was composed and performed by Spencer Chopin-Grant and mixed by Alex Turner. Our graphics and 3D assets were designed by Spencer Diablo-Grant, and our editor is Spencer Pagliacci-Grant. The Warrior Cat series is written by Aaron Hunter and distributed by HarperCollins. Please support the official release. You can find us at the web at spencergrant.co.uk/fourtrees or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find our YouTube uploads with auto-generated subtitles and audio visualizations at youtube.com/spencergrant. Again, I have been Spencer, and you have been beautiful. Bye!